Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the act of favour of God, eternal life in Christ Jesus. Other translations read, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. I wanted to speak about the gift of God, and we'll perhaps refer to some other scriptures. We all like to receive gifts, and the thing about a gift is it's something that's given free, and it's given, normally it's given without anybody wanting anything in return. And you know, that's what Jesus has been given as the most wonderful gift there has ever been given, which is God gave his beloved Son, that whosoever believes on him may not perish, but have life eternal. And so I want to say a little bit about what the gift of God means and what it entails. Ultimately, it is the Lord Jesus. But when we think about gifts, maybe think about Psalm 104. You can refer to it and look it up if you want to, but I'll read the verse that's relevant. It speaks in that psalm as to the wonderful creation of what God has done. It starts off by saying, "Bless Jehovah, O my soul, Jehovah my God, thou art very great." And the psalmist goes on to say, verse 24, "How manifold are thy works, O Jehovah, in wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches." And then verse 28, "Though thou openest thy hand, they are filled with good." God is a most gracious God who's given absolutely everything. He's given us creation. He gives us the air we breathe. He gives us food. He gives us water. You know, these are gifts that are from God that we perhaps just take for granted in our lives. The fact that we are in a country which is so freely available, the way we can meet like this, we can speak about the Lord Jesus. These are wonderful gifts from God that we've received. We're able to have money to be able to eat and live. There are many countries where this is not so, and living in poverty. But God has created everything and has given everything and gives everything that we have need of. Even the Lord could say about gifts, he could say, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And you know, God gives everything. He never sells anything. And that's an important thing. God gives, and it's a free gift. What God gives is free. And when we, you know, God doesn't ask us to pay anything. What God has done is been absolutely free. So God sent his Son into the world. You know, and even in the Bible we read about those, Peter, when he went up to a temple, there was a beggar there, wasn't there, that was waiting looking for money, to be given something. And what he could say, that he didn't have any silver and gold, but what he would, he'd give to him in the name of Jesus. And it was at the name of Jesus that man would rise up and walk again. And you know, that's what God is able to do. He gives us something which gives us life eternal. So we've referred to John 3 verse 16, and that's the most wonderful gift that has been given, when God gave his Son. But why did he give his Son? He gave Jesus into this world because, where we read in Romans 6, "For the wages of sin is death, but the act of favour of God, eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." In this world, everything that we've done is tainted by the whole fact of sin. And you know, it says here that the wages, what's given for sin. And it's interesting, isn't it, that it talks about wages of sin, and yet the gift of God is free. You know, that what the devil and Satan and will ask everything of us and want something for it. and whereas God gives us things freely. But the wages of sin is death. So the result of sin, the fact that you and I have sinned and done wrong in our lives, results in death. Because that's a fact that God has set. Sin, the sinner must die. But you know, the gospel is preached tonight so that you and I may live. And the gift of God that we're going to speak about is about giving you life in Jesus' name. And that's the blessing of the gospel. And we'll come on to that. We've thought about the giving of God in terms of our physical and needs day by day, and God gives us everything that we have need of. And he's a loving God and provides for us. But he's given us everything for our spiritual being and well-being. And that's provided through the Lord Jesus. I wanted to refer to two sections in the Bible, two very well-known stories in the Bible. John 4, which is, as many of you know, have read the Bible or have heard the gospel preaching, will have heard about Jesus, who was travelling to Samaria, and he passed through, and he came to the city of Samaria, and he came to a well, a fountain, and he was tired, and he sat down. And it's interesting, he asked a woman that came to draw to give him something. And it was to test the woman. God doesn't look for anything from us exactly, but he was looking for something from her because she lacked something which was deep and eternal. She lacked the knowledge of God. But what the verse I wanted to draw your attention to was when he spoke to this woman. In verse 10 he said, Jesus answered and said to her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that says to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him and he would have given thee living water. The very person that was sitting before for this woman that was in need. This woman was a sinner. It's very clear from the scripture that she lived a sinful life and that she was perhaps trying to hide away from it. She came to this well at an unusual time of the day, perhaps so that she didn't have to bump into other people. She was ashamed perhaps of her life. And maybe you're ashamed of the fact that you're a sinner and that you've done wrong in your life. You know, we deal with a God that knows absolutely everything about us. He knows our thoughts and intents of our hearts. He knows that we're sinners. He knows that we've done wrong. But you know, you need to come to that for yourself and recognize that you are a sinner. And this woman, she needed to realize, and she eventually, in the discourse with the Lord Jesus, she came to realize that this was somebody that knew everything about her. She could say later on, come see a man that's told me all things I had ever done. Is not he the Christ? What a wonderful thing it is when you come to realize that the God that you need to deal with, the one that loves you, the one that has sent his son, Jesus, to die for you, is the one that loves you and knows everything about you. And he's the one that is the gift of God. The Lord Jesus is the gift of God, that wonderful gift that he came here to lay down his life, shed his precious blood on that cross, and to do it so that your sins could be completely washed away, to remove those sins forever, eternally, so that it can never be brought against you. It tells us that they can remove as far as the east is from the west, so far that your transgressions, your sins can be removed. But this woman had this message, this wonderful message, to say that the very person sitting in front of her was the gift of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that was able to give her living water, give her something that would quench her soul and give her something that would give her everlasting life. And that's what the gospel is about, is giving you life in his name. We often, as we say, it's the gift of the Lord Jesus, but it's the gift of eternal life. And we've got that in Romans, really, where we read, but the act of favour of God, i.e. giving the Lord Jesus Christ, the gift of God, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This woman found that eternal living water that could spring up from within her. And that's the presence of the blessed Holy Spirit that comes into a believer as they are saved. It gives us that everlasting life, a life that's found in Jesus, because it's the very presence and God himself in the form of the Holy Spirit dwelling in the believer, so that it can lead you into know the truth and know everything about God, and the very depths of God can be found by trusting in him and knowing, having the Spirit. So that's really the life that can be had in knowing Jesus. There's something else about this gift of God, which I think is illustrated by the prodigal son, I think, in Luke 15. And you know the story very well, a younger man who decided to leave his father's house and leave his older brother, and he wanted the inheritance to be given to him so that he could go away and enjoy his life and spend it. Again, he asked for something to be given, and you know, that father gave him what really wasn't due to him yet, because the man was still alive, the father was still alive. He was given half his share, and he went away and he spent it all on everything that he could enjoy in life today. And so many people are like that, aren't they? They're living for the moment, living the life to the full, with no thought for the future, for their eternal salvation. And how sad it is that people go through life with no consideration for life after death. What will happen when they die? Where will they be when they die? Will they be with Jesus? Will they know God? Will they face their God? Will they face him as their saviour? Or will they face him as a judge who will judge each and every one of us for our sins? You know, tonight, the gift of God allows your sins to be washed away and forgiven forever. The younger son, who having got away and spent it all, he came to a point where he absolutely had nothing. When he had money, he could buy his way through life and he could do everything he wanted. He had many friends. He could enjoy himself. But it got to a point where he got nothing to give, and he even had no money to buy even food. And he longed to be able to fill the food he was giving to the animals that he was looking after, the pigs, the swine that he was looking after. But you know, it made that man come to himself, it says, made him realize that he was a sinner and that he needed something that was going to last far more than money or anything like that could buy. The gift of God is free. Can't stress that enough. People think they can buy salvation. They think they can buy their way into salvation, but it's not possible. God has given absolutely everything for you to be blessed and to be saved. And so when this man decided he was a sinner, he was going to come back and he was going to apologize and ask for forgiveness to his father, and perhaps he wanted to take a humble place of being a servant, he decided that he would do that and he would return to his father. And you know, the wonderful thing about it is the compassion and love of God is seen in what God does. God doesn't judge him and say he did wrong and he shouldn't have done what he did and he shouldn't have spent all his money and wasted it. He doesn't rebuke him for that. What does he do? In that passage, you can read about it in Luke 15. It tells him he immediately embraced him and kissed him. You know, he greeted him and he immediately gave him some wonderful gifts. And the gift of God, we spoke in the week in our reading on Wednesday about what grace was. And we said grace was God's riches at Christ's expense, using the acronym of GRACE. You know, and God's riches are wonderful, but they're all through the work of what Jesus has done and the work of Jesus. Everything that God has given is because of what Jesus has done and accomplished on the cross. But because of that, you know, God's gifts, and the Father in this passage in Luke is a type of God as the Father, as one that is able to give gifts to you and I. And, you know, he gave this man put a robe on him, a ring on his hand, he put sandals on his feet, and he asked for a meal, a fatted calf to be made, and gave him something for his blessing. And he said, it's good that we can eat and make merry, for this my son was dead and has come to life. And that's again the theme of what I wanted to say about God's gift. He gives life to you and I. The wages of sin is death, but the act of favour is eternal life in Jesus. What a wonderful blessing it is that we can have life in him. I want to refer to another passage where we've been reading. We've recently been reading about Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For ye are saved by grace through faith, and this is not of yourselves, it is God's gift. And I wanted to say a little bit about, I said about the gift of providential gifts that God has given us in our life and in creation, the gift of the Lord Jesus. But there's a gift that he's given us, which is the gift of grace. And we mentioned what grace was, God's riches at Christ's expense. But it's given to us through faith. And both grace and faith, it says, are God's gifts. And God has given us these things because, particularly faith, he's given us the faith to be able to believe. And you know, you might think, well, I've heard the gospel and I've read the Bible maybe, but it's not really had any impact or effect on my heart. You know, God has given us the very means to allow us to believe. And that's what faith is. Faith is believing something that we can't physically see and physically touch. It's giving us the power and the ability to accept God at his word. And that's what faith is about. You know, God has promised us that he sent his son Jesus to die on that cross, to shed his precious blood so that your sins could be washed away. If you just think about that as an event that took place, and many people will acknowledge that happened, but you have to truly believe with your heart that Jesus did it for you. With your mouth, get this right, you have to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. You know, he's the one that you need to not only believe and accept through faith, but you have to confess, you have to make the declaration, not necessarily out loud, but before God, that you're a sinner and that you're in need of a saviour and that you need to accept Jesus as your saviour. And so I say the very gifts that God has given are so that you can believe, and that very gift of God through Jesus is available tonight for you to accept him as your own personal saviour, so that you can know something of this wonderful gift of God. I want to refer finally to one verse in Romans again. Romans 11, I think it is. It's a verse that struck me, and it, in the translation we've got, perhaps doesn't make it as clear. Verse 29 of chapter 11 of Romans, for the gifts and the calling of God are not subject to repentance. And I think that verse means that the things that God give and the calling that God, i.e. we're called to be believers, can't be taken away. It can't be removed. That's what I think it means. And that's a wonderful thing for me. You can't be saved today and then lost tomorrow. That's a wonderful blessing. You might, if you've put your trust in the Lord Jesus, whatever happens in your life, you know, that salvation can never be removed. God will never take his gift away. It's a gift that God has given in Jesus for you to receive, and it will never be reversed or changed. It's there for time and eternity. And that's a wonderful, important part. And the reason I say that is people go through very difficult circumstances in their life. People get downhearted. People become perhaps lost in their Christian way. But the assurance of this verse and many others in Scripture are that that faith that you have in trusting in God can't be removed. I was reading today in a magazine about persecuted Christians of a couple that were young, I think they were in their late 20s, that lived in Africa. They were living in Africa, and he was a pastor of a church. He'd been appointed as the pastor in this church in the plains of Nigeria and the plateau of Nigeria, which is, I think, the northern part of Nigeria. January started, and he's gone through the pandemic that we've all been going through, making it very difficult. And there's in Africa, as probably many of you know, there's pretty much a split between Muslim believers there and believers, and it's a roughly a 50-50 split. There's Christians and Muslims, there's about equal amount in the country. And there's a lot of militants out there that are persecuting Christians immensely. And this particular couple, they were expecting their third child. The lady was called Rose, if I recall, and the pastor was called Matthew. And she had to go to have an antenatal hospital appointment. And as you probably know, in Africa, you have to travel days to get to hospital appointments like this. And she went off and left her husband. That very day, she'd gone off. She said goodbye to her husband, never to see him again. That day, militants came and they shot many people in that village, including the pastor, because he was a Christian. She never saw her husband again, wasn't there for his burial, because she had to journey back, and she was left with, distraught by having lost her husband, and many other of her families as well were killed at the same time. She later had a child, and she called her child Patience. And she said the reason she called it Patience was because she wanted to see God's, she wanted to have patience to see what God had to say to her in the events that had happened. You know, she prayed that the people that killed her husband might come to know the Lord Jesus as their Saviour, and that they would be forgiven. And she forgave them, she said. And I think that's a wonderful testimony of the strength and power of a Christian's faith, which is needed through whatever circumstances we may go through. And I trust nobody goes through the circumstances that Rose went through, to suffer as she did as a young couple, losing everything. And yet what struck me about her was that her faith was very strong, and that she was able to still hold on to it. And I think it's a wonderful testimony of the gift of God and the power of God and the sustaining power of the Lord Jesus, that will never leave us nor forsake us, whatever we may go through. What a wonderful Saviour we have, one that is in control, that knows everything about us, knows everything about the events in the world today, and is able to see us through if we trust in him for everything. And you know, if we can trust him for our salvation, accept the greatest gift that has been given of our Lord Jesus Christ, accept him as your own personal saviour, and trust him for every aspect of your life. I trust everyone here may know the Lord in this way and know the wonderful gift of God. May it be so for his name's sake.